Hear it first on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Now, the whole 10 yards. Gators, Seminoles, Hurricanes, and a recap of the biggest games in college football. Brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville. With your hosts, Clayton, Adrian, Matt, and Wally.
The whole 10 yards, Cincinnati XL, 92.5 FM, Clayton Tinkle, Wally Oligan.
The SEC's dominance is almost over.
Oh, thank you for that little tidbit. Joshua Jackson is with us.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing?
We're great. Thank you for asking. Matt Ziegler.
UNF Ospreys men's basketball team, 3-0 in conference
play.
3-0
in conference play.
First time in school history.
First time in school history, and we are alone in first place in the A-Sun.
And we play FGCU Dunk City.
Thursday,
yeah, 7 o'clock.
Seven o'clock.
I'll be there. Josh will be there.
I'll be there.
Wally?
I will be there.
We'll all be there.
Yeah.
So you should definitely come if you're listening.
And if you're not able to make it, asun.tv, we got you covered.
Yeah, on Twitter as well.
At asun_TV_UNF.
Correct.
You got this down.
Now that we got all that
nice
out of the
plug.
Way.
Yeah. I like it.
Well, when we're talking about my asun.tv, I got to take care of my baby.
Oh, gosh. One of the best football weekends of the year is almost over. And when you take into consideration the BCS bowl games, first round of the playoffs for the NFL, and then the national title game tomorrow, collectively, it's a pretty good weekend.
And then what's the bowl game today?
The GoDaddy Bowl.
Okay, can't forget that.
Arkansas State and Ball State. It's almost coming to a close. We got Joshua Jackson Seminoles playing tomorrow.
Yes, I am certainly looking forward to it.
We'll dive into a preview, in-depth preview of that later in the show. Give you guys some expert, quote-unquote, analysis.
Why would you say quote-unquote?
Because I'm not really sure if I consider myself an expert at this point.
You may as well.
I mean, everything I predict is wrong and I injure everyone, so...
Are we going to look in-depth into the GoDaddy Bowl as well?
Maybe not in-depth.
I don't know
How much of a background check can we do on Ball State?
We might just scratch the surface.
Okay.
Brady Hoke coached at Ball State.
Did he?
He did.
Okay, so there you go.
So there we go. But the big news around college football this morning, and for the past few days, I'd say, the coaching carousel is in full effect. Charlie Strong is expected to, or Texas is expected to announce officially that they hired Charlie Strong. Is it Monday they're slotted to announce?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's pretty much a done deal from what everyone sees. If it's not, it'd be one of the biggest media blunders of all time, I think.
No, he's gone.
Yeah.
I should have worn my Texas hoodie. I'm wearing Gators hoodie.
So, Charlie Strong to Texas. There's a lot of talk that it's pretty much a done deal that Al Golden's going to Penn State as well. We'll start Charlie Strong, Matt being the native Texas guy here.
Yeah.
Charlie Strong, yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
big
yes.
Time, yes. And look, it's so funny how things work out. You know, Will Muschamp, ex-Texas defensive coordinator, guy waiting behind Mack Brown, can't wait his turn and decides to go to University of Florida. Not blaming him. I mean, he took a really good job. The Florida fans aren't very happy with him right now. And I bet you Florida's AD was thinking, you know, one more year of him, and we get Charlie Strong next year.
Right.
Well, guess what? Texas just, you know... You can't wait in line. Okay, we'll take the next guy in line. And so now we got Charlie Strong. I'm stoked about it. The only thing besides football, you know, with the Longhorn Network, it's a lot of media stuff. I mean, you are parading yourself as an ambassador of the university more than I think he had to do at Louisville. Mm-hmm. And with the amount of revenue that school's pulling in, I think that's the difficult aspect of the job. But the way Nick Saban, you see, like he kind of was able to pull that off in Alabama. I got high hopes for Charlie Strong and the first African-American head coach for Texas.
How about that?
In the history of UT. And that's a big step because that's, you know, that's the biggest school in the country, essentially.
How about in the state of Texas? Your two big schools are now coached by African-American.
Texas A&M with Sumlin.
I think it's a tremendous hire for Texas. I think, how about this? Charlie Strong, not necessarily good enough, because I know a couple of years ago he was up for the Arkansas job, didn't get that job, and, you know, he goes and turns that thing around. Exactly. Now he's at Texas, and I think that's a tremendous hire. I mean, you're not good enough for the SEC, but you're basically going to a job, and we talked about it before the show started. When you go to Texas, you're pretty much, that's a lifer's job right there. If you do what you're supposed to do, beat Oklahoma, win the Big 12, be competitive, bring a national championship. You can pretty much retire at Texas. And so I think it's a tremendous hire for the Hornets.
On the not good enough for the SEC note, if you ask most SEC athletic directors, aside from Sumlin at A&M, Saban and Miles, and Franklin at Vanderbilt, and maybe Rick at Georgia, they all take Franklin.
Right.
Or not Franklin. They all take Charlie Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just me.
Think Teddy gave him a little like, listen, Charlie, I'm going to be leaving this year, so if you got plans to make,
go ahead and make them.
Make those plans.
No one told Devontae Parker, though.
He went back.
If you've got thoughts on any of these coaching changes or anything like that, be sure to give us a call, 641-1010. We're more than happy to hear your opinion.
And for our Jacksonville side, I wonder what this does now, because Isaiah Ford, who's the receiver over at Trinity Christian, he's committed to Louisville. I wonder what that does for him now with Charlie Strong.
I like this Jacksonville local recruiting.
I wonder what that does traveling over to him going to Texas. I wonder what that does for him in the recruiting there for Louisville.
We have a first caller of the morning, Andy.
Comes to
you're
Texas.
On the whole 10 yards. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Listen, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me that Charlie Strong is not going to be able to hire his defensive coordinator and his offensive coordinator. He's going to have to take the two guys up there. Is that true?
Take the two guys that are there, meaning Greg Robinson. I can almost promise you Greg Robinson's gone.
Yeah.
No, they probably just – yeah, once he is formally introduced as head coach, I think from there, he'll be able to pick his own staff.
Thanks for your call, Andy. We appreciate it.
That sounds like Remember the Titans stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly.
We're going to hire you to be the coach, but we're going to have to use the existing.
Yeah, though, there's no way. I mean, Texas, the athletic staff and, like, the AD have a lot of power at Texas, but when they hire a head coach, and especially a guy like Charlie Strong, they know what they're getting. A guy he knows what he's doing. Give him his staff and give him 2 years. I mean, being able to recruit, the way he's been able to recruit at Louisville, now you have the whole state of Texas. Ooh. And all that money.
Who's the OC of Texas?
Major Applewhite.
Oh, okay. Good call.
I just look at it this way. Florida, you done messed up.
Brain fart.
Yeah, no.
Florida messed up.
You
had an opportunity to offload Muschamp, and you could have legitimately gone after Charlie and probably gotten him, but now he's gone off to legitimately bigger and better things.
And a curveball to throw at that, going back to recruiting, knowing that Charlie Strong can go in and recruit Florida. Not only can he recruit Texas, he can recruit Florida, and not just Florida, but recruit South Florida.
Miami.
With all those recruits that he took to Louisville.
Wow.
Now they go over to Texas.
Wow.
Oops. Ooh, it's going to be.
Oops.
In a few years, that's going to be a program
absolutely.
To watch. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's why I think recruiting-wise, it was the best hire they could have made.
Absolutely.
Out of anyone in the nation. When you think what Charlie Strong can do, like you said, in South Florida, not just North Florida. Because that's its own animal, but South Florida.
But what was the Jim Mora thing? Did Jim Mora really have to turn us down in order for us to get Charlie Strong?
The sad thing is, yes,
you guys wanted everyone. That was scary.
Yeah, you guys just wanted a big name, which is sad.
But no offense to Jim Mora, I mean he's done a great job, but no. Please no. I didn't know what was going on.
I take Charlie Strong over Jim Mora too, no doubt.
Here.
I mean, I was hoping that it was just stuff to throw out there in the media so that no one would understand no one would be.
And people that aren't really familiar with how good of a coach Charlie Strong is and how good of a recruiter he is, they're saying, oh, he was fourth, fifth option. That might be the case, but he shouldn't have been. He should have been a 1A, 1B, 1C. And all those guys that Texas talked to, I feel like, were on that same pedestal. They wanted Bill O'Brien at first.
Mm-hmm.
That was a rumor. Charlie Strong, Jim Mora, all those guys are great coaches.
Nick Saban.
Jimbo Fisher.
Yep.
So now that rumor is gone. Thank God.
Well, look at it. Looking at
John Gruden. It was a long list.
Well, looking at Charlie Strong's coaching record, he's 37-16 as a head coach. He's 3-2 in bowl games, has two Big East championships, was a UCF loss from being the ACC champion.
What is this Big East you speak of?
Yeah. Oh, the now defunct Big East.
Oh, the AAC, you mean?
Yeah, well, yes.
Oh,
they
okay.
used to be the
no,
Big
I was confused
they used
too.
To be the Big East, but now they're no longer. But like, I just think it's such a great, it's a great hire. It's like, that's a huge thing for not only the state of Texas, but I think for Charlie.
And that's good karma for him, because he didn't get the Florida job, but took it like a man. You didn't hear him say anything bad about the University of Florida or their athletics department or anything like that. Took it like a man, went to Louisville, built a strong program. Now you're at the most highly profitable college campus
in
the country.
And he's in Austin, Texas. He's going to love that.
He's going to love
it. He's going to love it there.
An awesome, like I said, awesome hire. I think they hit a home run with this.
But now the Gators, Muschamp's, if we're saying Muschamp's a lame duck this year and the Gators are spending this year kind of looking and seeing who's available, so now who's out there?
I wonder, did Charlie Strong put roots on Florida? I wonder, did he really just do the color purple thing? Till you do right by me, everything that you think about. I wonder.
We talk about Charlie Strong being this great hire. Pat Ford, which is a pretty respected journalist for Yahoo. We'll get to this in 1 second. Hold that thought. Okay. As we have John on the line. John, how are you?
I'm doing good. This is John from SwoopHoops.com.
Oh, from Swoop Hoops. What's up, brother?
Oh, okay. John.
Hey, I wanted to see what y'all thought about the Bill O'Brien hire going to the Texans. I just think, you know, leaving Penn State for the money in the NFL, do you guys think that it maybe shows a lack of character in terms of him leaving a situation that's really tough to go for big money?
No. I disagree, because if someone comes to me and says, hey, you're doing a good thing by staying at this particular job, even though, you know, you've had to deal with a ton of crap to put up with it, and another team comes up and offers me, hey, you used to be an NFL guy, we're going to give you a head coaching job, and we're going to pay you a lot of money to do so, I'd be gone too.
And plus, he wanted to go back to the NFL anyway. I mean, you're at Penn State. You can't go to a bowl game for a while. You can't compete for a Big Ten championship. You want to go back to the NFL. If they're going to offer you that much money, and Bob McNair, who's the owner of the Texans, has all the money in the world. Hey, if you're going to throw that at me and I want to go back to the NFL, I'm going back.
Yeah, he's made the jump from NFL to college and the opposite a few times. He started with the Browns. He was OC at Duke, running back coach at Maryland, then jumped to New England, then back to Penn State. So it's not like he, I don't think it's a money thing or a character thing. I just think he's going for, I think he wants to win, really. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Pretty much. I mean, they did a great job last year. This year they kind of struggled. But, you know, hey, if they're going to throw that much cash at me, I'm going to go. Especially if I want to go back, I'm going back. So.
Anything else, John?
Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. SwoopHoops.com is also I guess you call it affiliate of UNF basketball. I write for them as well. John's actually the owner of the site. Great coverage. Check them out, too. And we'll be in attendance as well
on
Thursday. We are. It's Swoop Hoops.
_UNF.
Couldn't remember if there was an underscore.
How's it that I know it? You don't.
I don't know, man.
Sure. That _UNF, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Apparently. Speaking of Twitter accounts, let's go ahead and just talk about ours. The whole 10 yards, you can follow the show account, which is 10yards_radio. You can follow Clayton Tinkle at
Tink_CFB.
You can follow Matt Ziegler at
Matt Ziegler, MattZiegler, 454.
Good God.
So many letters.
Please change it. You can follow Joshua Jackson, the voice, at
JCJackson904.
That's a little bit easier.
And you can follow me, Wally, at VMC Wally, WALE.
Let's spell MC for him.
No.
Okay.
If you can't spell MC, then you've got bigger issues.
Someone puts in E-M-C-E-E. He said he's the MC Wally.
He said MC.
but back to the Pat Ford Yahoo article that was released this morning, early this morning, 7 hours ago. Wow, who was up at 2 a.m.?
Pat Ford
was.
Is it Ford or 40?
I've always called him Ford, but I'm probably wrong, so.
Okay. He's not listening anyway.
Yeah, right.
You say that.
But so the article essentially says, the headline of the article is, Charlie Strong has earned everything he's gotten, but Texas is the wrong fit. It goes on to say that it's because of the attention you have to give to the media and the boosters at Texas is so exponentially higher than that as at Louisville that he's going to have a hard time because he shut out the Louisville boosters for so long in the media that it's not going to be a cakewalk. But then later in the article, it says, essentially, if you win, it doesn't matter what you do. You can do whatever you want. So on the media side, I see it. You've got to talk to the media a little bit more at Texas with Longhorn Network and ESPN constantly down your throat and stuff like that. But if he wins, which I think he will, he'll be okay.
I think Tyrone Willingham, when he got the job at Notre Dame, I think he was a little overwhelmed going from, you know, going to that big of a program. Charlie Strong's ready. He knows exactly what comes with the territory. I mean, you don't take the Texas job and not know, especially with the Longhorn Network being as profitable as it is, that they're going to be pulling you every which way to do interviews, to do all these different segments, you know, things for the campus. You're also going to be having to, you know, go on your recruiting trails and actually coaching. It's a tough life to live, but as I said, you know, Nick Saban lives it. And then if you win, you're a god. If you win and you're still doing that juggling act, psh, they make a statue out of you.
I want a statue.
I want a statue too. Like, when did this fad happen where as soon as you win a national title, is Jimbo Fisher going to have a statue made after him if they beat Auburn?
I would go ahead and build.
Absolutely. That's what it seems like. Now, if you're a college coach and you win your first, it's
to be a football national title? Because we can create a sport and win a national title.
Right now, the trend is football national titles.
Oh, okay.
But if you win enough basketball ones, yeah.
I don't believe Bob Braman, who's the track coach at Florida State, he's won a couple of national championships. I don't think he's going to get a track statue.
What if he gets a small statue? Like yeah.
I don't need a whole body.
Like Jimbo.
A statue the size of a trophy?
Yeah.
A trophy.
A bobblehead. I'll go with
that. A bobblehead. Tink bobbleheads on sale next week on the whole 10 yards.
I like it.
I can punch it finally.
Does Bob Stoops have a statue?
Whoa now.
Punch you in the face if it was a bobblehead.
Don't break the bobblehead.
If you have,
I didn't say break it. I just want to punch it.
Does Bob Stoops have a statue?
I have not heard. I want to say Barry Switzer does have a statue at Oklahoma. I don't know if Bob Stoops, but I think Bob Stoops should.
Yeah,
I would build him one for what he did to Alabama.
Because before Stoops got there, Oklahoma was garbage.
Yeah.
They were horrible. They have not been good. They weren't good since Barry Switzer left. So I think if anybody's going to get a statue at Oklahoma, it better be Bob Stoops.
Now has won every BCS bowl game.
How about that?
Bob Stoops was also mentioned in connection with the Browns job, so you guys know.
Oh yeah, he's from Youngstown,
right? Well, so is Jim Tressel.
He's not going. He's not going there.
Isn't the owner getting ready to go to jail for something?
I don't know. It's the Browns.
It's the Browns.
They're in Cleveland.
Why did they fire Chudzinski?
I would work for the Browns if they offered to pay my airfare to fly home to like Miami every day.
You know why?
Because
I don't want to live in Cleveland. You know why they fired Chud? It's because Mike Lombardi is the guy who's in charge.
It's wild. It's wild, wild west over there.
No one knows what they're doing.
Tumbleweeds drafting.
And it makes me laugh.
Brandon Whedon, a 28-year-old quarterback who
last NFL note, and if you're a Jags fan, you're kind of happy about. Well, I wouldn't say happy, but every team that lost to the Jaguars, their coaches got fired.
Well,
nice.
So what happens when they win like 10 games?
NFL's going to burn.
It just puts a lot of pressure on the other teams. They can't lose to the Jaguars.
The next time they play like New England and it's like a meaningless week 3 game, Bill Belichick gone the next week?
Bob Kraft's
fired.
Kraft's watching the game, yeah.
You lost to the Jaguars. Fired.
Al Golden and BCS Bowl recap next on the whole 10 yards, 10 XL, 92.5 FM.
The Drill, Dan Hicken, Jeff Prosser, and Balls Davis on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10. The whole 10 yards, brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Fifth of the month.
The whole 10 yards, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. The crew's back. Wally Oligan, Matt Ziegler, Joshua Jackson.
Yes, indeed. Rakeith, you the man. Thank you for that Bone Thugs and Harmony.
And Rakeith
in
the booth, keeping everything real, as nice the kids say.
Oh, I'm just letting that ride out, that beat. On the 5th of the month, that's when you pay your JEA.
My high has officially been blown. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt.
Sorry about that, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for bringing
just
it back
a friendly
to the
reminder.
World.
Hey. don't get your power turned off.
Pay your bills.
Pay your bills, kids.
Oh Lord. Oh gosh. Al Golden. All right, and it's not official.
It's not official.
Yeah,
right?
It's not official that Al Golden's going to Penn State at all. He is, it looks like, the overwhelming favorite to do so. James Franklin is also on that list, Yahoo Sports reports. Who do you guys think ends up going? Al Golden, right?
I'm thinking more Al Golden.
He's a Penn State guy.
Right. Yeah.
He's an alum.
He was quoted as saying it would be going home.
But what about Mike Munchak?
No.
He did just get fired.
And he's a Penn State alum. That's the only reason why I bring his name up.
No. I think I'd rather have Al Golden.
I was going to say, he didn't necessarily do a good job coaching.
Right.
But that's why it's so difficult pulling a guy from the NFL, because a Titans team that goes 5-whatever, how does that match up with a college team that goes 8-5?
Well, that's their equivalent of going 8-4, 8-5.
It's the quality of competition. It's a different coaching style. You're coaching men.
I think
adults.
The issue is that Al Golden would be a better fit for everything that's going on at Penn State. Mm-hmm. Rather than just looking at the football thing, which is what you have to do
at this point. Yeah, I was just playing devil's advocate, but right. No, I think Al Golden... I think Al Golden gets hired. I wish he wouldn't leave Miami, though.
So when does James Franklin leave Vandy? And for what job?
Good question.
Florida?
Florida.
I'm thinking it would have to be a Florida or Georgia or something along those lines. Because,
right.
I mean, you're pretty much right now, you're the toast of the town in Nashville right now.
Right.
I mean, they pretty much, I think they're ready to build a statue. So we're talking about statues. Well, they're ready to build a statue for you right now.
You're
okay.
One of the only other head coaches that's at a, sorry, Vanderbilt, smaller school.
Sorry, Fat Tony.
Right. I mean, I love Vandy, and I love what he's done there. But you're the only hot guy that's doing great, great recruiter at a small school that can be lured away by big dollars at a bigger school. Charlie Strong's gone now. He was that guy. Al Golden from Miami back to Penn State. And Fisher's just signed his extension at Florida State. There's not really any more hot names, if you will.
And speaking of Vandy, how about the SEC's most prolific receiver is at Vanderbilt? Jordan Matthews
is a monster.
Was a grown man at Vanderbilt. So I think James Franklin's done a great job. He's brought in some great talent. I think the only way he leaves is if he goes to a bigger school like a Florida or Georgia or something along those lines.
I don't think he leaves, though. I'll be honest with you.
Why not, though? If a bigger school is calling
you? At some point, he'll leave.
I think it's just
going to have to be the perfect situation.
God bless Vanderbilt. You don't stay for Vanderbilt for long.
Be at Vandy forever.
No.
Be that coach that stays there forever. No. Build a legend.
No.
Michigan. What about Michigan?
What about Michigan?
Exactly.
He would leave for a Michigan job. He would leave for a Florida job.
Well, it's playing with fire, though, because it's such a what have you done for me lately league.
Right.
That if he only wins 5 games next year, you blew it.
Right.
Now you're maybe not even getting offered the Florida job. Right. I mean, at this point, Florida would. But maybe a Michigan school isn't offering you that job. Same type of thing as to cross-sport reference. Shaka Smart with the VCU men's basketball team.
Good call.
At this point, I mean, there was a time where he could have maybe gotten the Lakers job.
Right.
You know, or he could have gotten a high-profile NBA job. People were calling for him. Or at least a high-profile college job. Now you don't really hear his name too much. I mean, granted, he made his living in the tournament, and so in the regular season, you're not supposed to hear his name,
right.
But who's to say he gets that offer anymore?
As an FSU basketball fan, I wanted him at FSU for so long because I wanted Leonard Hamilton out of there because he's been so inconsistent, but hey, they're winning now.
Well, we can talk college basketball.
Forget Shaka Smart. We beat him this year. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just
buckets.
It's who's winning right now, and James Franklin with the pattern of success that he's built, not just 1 year.
Right.
He needs to strike while the iron's hot right now.
Right.
Go for that money.
And that's what makes me think that it's going to have to take the perfect situation for him to leave.
Trying to think who's left in the coaching carousel. Who doesn't have a seat right now? Who doesn't have a coach?
He could, I guess, leave for Miami, but I don't.
Exactly. Miami.
I don't leave Vandy for Miami.
Why would you go to Miami?
Yeah, I don't leave Vandy for Miami right now.
The recruiting there.
It's tough.
It's hard. It's hard.
You can compete in the ACC. The sanctions are behind you now at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You're still a private university. You still have all.
Well, Vandy's a private university, is it not?
Which
yes.
it is. Which it is. Yep. But I mean, to pull players from Miami and stuff like that kind of has to be.
The admission standards are kind of more lax at Miami as opposed to them being at Vanderbilt.
Right.
It's pretty much
Vandy.
Harvard. You know,
yeah,
so
Vandy's an
Ivy
League
school.
Exactly. Exactly.
No state tax.
Absolutely.
We'll take that money.
And it's freaking Miami.
And it's. I would take that.
Nashville, Tennessee, Miami, Florida.
See, I like Nashville, though. That's the thing.
I love Nashville, too.
If I had to choose between living in Nashville and living in Miami, I'd take Nashville out of Miami.
Have you ever stayed in Miami for like an extended period of time?
It's scary. It's like going to Vegas.
Give me South Beach all day, twice on
right?
Sunday. I'm sorry.
Okay. And we've got two callers lined up. One is the infamous Drew Carey. We got to make this quick, Drew. What you got?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Guys, have a good one.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
for the most part.
Oh, great. Yeah, I was busy. I went bowling.
You went bowling.
Yeah. Ricky had another party.
Who's Ricky?
Williams.
Ricky Williams.
Oh, went bowling again. Okay.
Yeah. I like Ricky. He's a cool dude. We have the same agent.
Who's your agent?
Yeah, Ziggy Marley. Anyway, did you guys see I had the biggest winner on Price is Right in game show history?
They
won $180,000.
I did see that, yeah.
Maybe the Browns ought to hire her, their coach.
Well, they could use the money.
Yeah, that's right. Well, guys, listen, I just wanted to call and say thanks a lot for taking my calls. I enjoyed your show. I understand next week could be your last show. I won't be able to call in. I'm going to Peru.
Going to Peru for what?
Yeah, I'll get hot. So, you guys, I've enjoyed your show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you.
All right.
Is this because Peru's hot?
I don't know. I just can't.
Okay, you guys have got to help me out. What just happened?
Nothing.
Don't ask questions. You don't want the answer.
Do we lose the other caller?
No, he's still there.
Okay.
But I'm sleep dough. Brandon, you're on the whole 10 yards.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much.
Brandon, how you doing?
Sorry, man. Hard to follow up that call. Hey, I got a quick 2 points for you, man. I think Gary Pinkel has been a pretty good coach last, I don't know how long he's been in Missouri. I just thought he was a guy that, you think he maybe he'll move, or he's just going to stay, or what do you think about him as a coach?
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about Pinkel. I think he's been there 3 or 4 years now.
I think it's been more than that.
Because he was there when Chase Daniel was there.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's been
more like 2001.
What do you guys think about that running back, too? He kind of reminds me of a Maurice Jones-Drew when he first started in the NFL. He's got speed, man. His cutting.
Not
his
just
speed,
that one running back.
Josie. Yeah.
That entire stable of running backs they have. Exactly. Hansborough,
Josie. Thanks, guys, for
the
call, man.
No problem.
You're awesome, man. Good luck with the show, bud. Thanks
appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Great call, Brandon. We appreciate it.
I hadn't even thought about it. Good call with Gary Pinkel. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
And now with Missouri being in the SEC now, you wonder what that does for him.
It tells me since he's been there since 2001 that, and they've been successful in the past. It's not like this is the first year they've been in a BCS bowl or been. They were one game away from the national title another year, weren't they?
Yeah, they sure were.
When they were in the Big 12.
In a sense.
It tells me that he's not going to leave. He's the coach for life if he wants to be.
I don't know, because Pinkel is one of those coaches who's had a pretty solid track record, but since he's made the transition to the SEC, he's been the SEC 2 years now. One more year. If Missouri goes up and is really in contention for the East SEC East next year, let's say they win the SEC East, then you'll see people start knocking and start calling to see if
one more year and go where.
Yeah, that's what I don't see where
don't
you would.
The NFL?
Cause like,
I don't know if he jumps to the NFL.
Like we said, he's been there since 2001. If he wants to be, and as long as they don't have like a 3-win season 2 years in a row, he can be the coach for life. I don't see why you would jump from that.
And like I said, with them now being in the SEC,
right. Job
that opens
security,
up a lot of things right there.
They're going to get a little bit more money. He can get a better contract extension.
All I'm saying is when Brady Hoke is gone at Michigan next year, that's where they'll make the call.
Could you say that Gary Pinkel kind of trolled the Jaguars, in a sense?
How so?
Explain.
He made Blaine Gabbert look so good.
Here we go.
And so I'm just saying.
Here we go.
He must have done a number.
Next on the whole thing.
I'm saying that kind of like deceitfulness. Yeah, bring him on.
I need to wear my "I Survived Blaine Gabbert" T-shirt the next time.
That's a thing.
Yeah, that is a thing.
I want one.
I would like one as well. You haven't seen the picture. I'll show it to you during the break. I'll show you the picture of the shirt during the break.
That's awesome.
Legit.
All right, to jump off of this coaching bandwagon to wrap it up, some coaches on the hot seat going into next year, the bowl season behind us now. Who has to win next year to keep their job?
Will Muschamp.
Oh, well, that was the obvious.
Obvious.
I was hoping you guys would bring something else to the table.
Mark Richt.
I think
crying so. Georgia fan.
Crying Georgia fan.
I love those dogs. I love them. We got to get rid of them.
We got to get rid of them now. But who are we replacing with?
I just got to get rid of them. Bo Pelini.
You think?
Bo Pelini's been on the hot seat since I was three.
He can take it for like five years.
Dude, they won the Gator Bowl with a backup quarterback. I think they'll get off of him for a little bit. I think he might have earned himself a little bit more.
Nebraska fans were excited
about that win. I think I would be too. You beat an SEC team pretty much in the SEC's backyard.
Speaking of the Gator Bowl, I want to send a warrant out for those Georgia fans that were sitting in front of
us. Oh, yes. I agree. Those guys were obnoxious, rambunctious. You should see the mullet of the guy that sat in front of me. I think it was raunchy. That was just raunchy. It was a raunchy mullet.
Also, was it raining there like all day?
Oh, yeah. Also at the Gator Bowl, funny story. Me and my significant other stole trash bags from a janitor to use as ponchos.
Oh,
nice!
It was pretty great. Pretty great.
Kudos to everybody that went to the Gator Bowl.
There was actually more people there with the rain and the weather than I thought.
Anybody that sit out there, I know, it's New Year's and you know you need something, but hey, whoever sat out there with all that rain, it was actually turned out to be a pretty decent game. Hey, Wale, good on you, my friend.
You should have been there.
Sitting right next to me.
I wish I could have gone. Had some family things I needed to take care of. But it actually turned out to be a, a really decent game, yes.
We need results, not excuses, okay?
Oh, wow. Right. Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I will fight you after
this. he is a guest.
After your first visit, you're no longer a guest on the whole 10 yards.
Oh, okay.
And everything is open.
The politeness ends after your first visit?
Well, was I ever really polite?
That's a good point.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to drive away, tires squealing, so I'm not a witness to anything that just...
Oh, he knows I'm kidding. But Matt, hot seat guy?
I really don't know who else. I mean, it just seems like Muschamp's the guy probably in the country who needs to win most this season. I was thinking, like, how long is Spurrier going to be at South Carolina for?
Ever.
Forever?
Until he wants to leave.
Until he decides to retire.
Or at Virginia Tech. Frank Beamer. Is he just going to be there forever?
It just seems until he leaves.
I think he might be on the hot seat next year.
I think so. Mediocrity has been accepted at some of these, you know, not powerhouse schools. And when they used to be, Virginia Tech used to be huge, and now it just seems like...
I think the issue with that is these athletic directors like Virginia Tech, they see that they don't have the money or the resources or the facilities to bring in a Charlie Strong.
Yeah.
They can't compete with a Texas or anything like that. So you've got to get a young coach and build him up and hope nobody steals him.
We talked about Georgia a couple of minutes ago. How about the other team in Georgia? I think Paul Johnson's on the hot seat next year at Georgia Tech. I think that, you know, them being, you know, where they are right now, I think Georgia Tech fan is like, look, we've got to get more competitive here in the ACC. And I think running that triple option, you know, it's a great offense. Sorry, Florida fan. I think them needing to get more competitive in that coastal division because it's such a winnable division.
Right.
You can't sit there and be comfortable being third every year behind Miami and Virginia Tech. So I think Paul Johnson's definitely on that hot seat next year.
We have a caller. Mitch is on the line. Mitch, how are you?
Better than I deserve. Got a natty ice between the legs driving home from McDonald's, so whatever that means.
Wait, say that again?
What was that?
He's got a natty ice between the legs driving home from McDonald's.
Did he say that?
I got you. Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh,
yeah, 0.7 miles. I'm not going to hurt nobody. Sprinklers hitting the windshield, the worst thing that's going to happen to me. Hey, they announced the crowd at like 61,000, and I didn't even see even a highlight. But the highlights I saw on the local news, it just looks like the tops were vacant. I mean, was there any chance there was even 61 people hanging out there, or maybe they roughed off the rain? Because I knew it did rain for 2 or 3 days.
I wouldn't say it was. I know they said that it was announced attendance was 60,000. I would probably say it's closer to 50 because
you got to say
there was a lot of people in the Bud Zone.
Yeah, the Bud Zone was packed. The concourses were packed,
and there was a lot of people in the clubs too.
Yeah,
there were a lot of people in the clubs sections as well.
When we went down to steal our trash bags from that grateful janitor, thank you again. But there was, I'd say, close to 1 million people in the concourse is what it felt like.
I think your math is wrong.
Yeah, we snuck Taco Bell in the year it poured for the Georgia-Florida game and flooded underneath the Hart Bridge.
Nice.
We had an RV and all that stuff. So I guess that was like 90, 93, 92-ish.
Right. Yeah, the lower bowl was pretty full for the weather conditions and everything. But, yeah, the top was vacant, like you said.
Yeah. Okay, man. Great show. I'm glad I got turned on to y'all.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Drive home safe, man.
Please drive home safe.
Is this the Wally? Is this him?
I believe it. Wayne.
Wayne, is that you?
War Eagle.
Woo!
War Eagle, buddy.
War Eagle. How about it?
Good morning, gentlemen, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, boss.
Oh my goodness, I am so disappointed.
Uh-oh. Why?
I mean, come on. The SEC, the best conference in the nation.
Oh, we'll get there.
Georgia and Alabama has to let the SEC down.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
That's all right. Auburn's going to bring it up back on the pedestal. No problem.
Yeah, I agree.
Over Monday night, you know, it's still going to be 5 in a row for the state of Alabama.
You know, I just watched, I was telling the guys, I just watched the 30 for 30, the Roll Tide War Eagle. Have you seen that, Wayne?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you would love it. Oh, you would love it. It's just pretty much an hour and 15 minutes of just the history of the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, talking about, more specifically, they talk about the 2009-2010 Iron Bowls, but then they go back in the past, and, oh, man, I didn't realize it was such a Red Sox-Yankees type, you know, rivalry, I mean, to use a baseball reference.
I don't know if it could be just as much or maybe even a little bit more. But, yeah, it's that kind of a rivalry.
Yeah, it's It's pretty big.
We're talking about Auburn, Alabama?
Yeah.
Auburn, Alabama is the second best rivalry in college sports.
Are you going to say Ohio State,
Michigan? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Wolverines.
I don't know. It seems like they shoot each other down there, or I guess up there for us.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, we
they
do.
They get kind of wild.
Oh, well.
Actually, I hate to tell you all this, but it is a fact that during the day of the Iron Bowl and the day after, there's more reports of domestic violence in the state of Alabama than any other time.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, people get...
Hide your kids.
Hide your wife. Hide your wife.
Beat everybody out of
Yeah. I'd like to find out where to catch that at. That'd be neat.
Yeah, you for sure should. I mean, it's online somewhere, I'm sure.
Okay. Wayne, yes. I'm pretty sure we've gotten this from you before. Final score predictions for tomorrow?
It's going to be awful high. We're going to run all over them. They're going to pass all over us. One point, we bend big time in the middle, but in the red zone, we're ranked eighth nationally on stopping the offense.
Okay.
Score.
Score? Lord have mercy.
I think you said like 52-48 last
time.
It's
going to be, I still think it's going to be around there, around 52-48, Auburn.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said last time, 52-48.
There's no way.
52, man.
100 points.
Yes.
Wayne, we got some more callers to get to. Anything else for us?
I just voted y'all the best radio talk show in Jacksonville.
Aww. Yeah!
Woo! Thanks, Wayne. We appreciate it.
Okay. You from the beginning, you've been talking about the War Eagle, and it's just nice to come full circle this way, buddy.
Right.
It feels...
Next week, win or lose, we expect a call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yes. All right. I'm a sportsman all the way around.
All right, good luck, Wayne.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And who do we take first?
You got to take Justin because he's been...
Oh, okay. Justin on the whole 10 yards, how are you?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? With the showing of Clemson, and let's say FSU pulls the win off tomorrow night, how much of this trend of the ACC having, you know, success in the BCS and postseason, obviously we're going to the playoff next year, so they start making a move on the SEC as the dominance, or not just them making the move, but maybe just the SEC losing some ground overall?
Just start with one.
Justin, question for you.
Yes, sir.
Aside from Florida State and Clemson, who else in the ACC can beat anybody else in the ACC? Or ACC can beat anybody else in the SEC?
Louisville.
That's a good question. You're busting me there. But I mean, just the success going off. You know,
Duke had a good year.
Everyone claims the
they scared Texas.
You know,
State
SEC.
Right.
They always point to the national championships. You know, and I'm just saying, many years in a row does the SEC not have to win a national championship for them to start? You know, maybe losing some ground.
Well, they've lost some ground, and I've got an SEC rant lined up later on in the show. But
start with one win. Win tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's the key.
Win tomorrow. That's step one.
I will say this: that this year the SEC is starting to come a little bit back to the pack, as opposed to them having, you know, the great dominance that they've had in recent years. I think this year they're starting to come back to the pack, and other teams in other conferences are starting to become a little bit better. You know, being able to compete against the SEC.
I think it's a battle of the giants. When you have Clemson and FSU, they could give a good game to any of the top tier teams in the SEC. But if you put, I don't know, if you put FSU, if you put Duke against
Texas A&M,
against Tennessee,
ooh,
you give it to Duke, right?
The volunteer struggle
is
real.
The volunteer struggle is real. So I'm saying it's not so much about one conference and the other. It's
matchups.
If you put a mid-tier SEC team against a mid-tier ACC team, they whoop them. If you put a lower-tier ACC team against an SEC team, the SEC team wins. So that's how I see it.
Right.
When you have the top, as we're going to talk about later, Oklahoma and Alabama, what we saw is a top Big 12 team can take on a top SEC team. But I already knew that. Now, if you would have given me Iowa, like a middle-of-the-road Big 10 team, and they were to defeat, you know, LSU, then
which,
I'm like, okay.
Which was close.
Which was close. I'm like, got us.
Right.
But at the same time, besides that pick six, well, it wasn't a pick six,
right,
but besides that, Iowa, weren't really in it too much. So that's how I see it.
All right, guys. Well, I definitely appreciate it. I guess the point of reference I was making with my wife the other day was, in years past, Duke playing Texas A&M, I mean, even going into that game, I don't know what the spread was officially in Vegas, but for Duke to I mean, obviously A&M pulled it out because they are the SEC, but I would have never thought even having to come down to the last minute.
No, that's that game, even though Duke blew it at the end, that was a great highlight for not just the ACC, but just to show that in a few years, any team that maybe, you know, has two or three wins in a season can eventually turn it around to that point. And that college athletics as a whole is just becoming more, it's more even. The talent is being more evenly distributed now.
All right, thank you so much, guys. Y'all are great, and I hate to hear that. This is your last show.
No, well, next week. Don't throw us away yet.
Sorry, just as bad.
Thanks, Dust. Appreciate it. Next on the whole 10 yards, we're going to talk some how the SEC has lost some ground. We're actually going to get a little bit more in-depth to that after we look at the scores. And the infamous Kayla is on hold, and she will be on with us
Kayla
next segment.
Kayla on corn.
We're excited. Native Nebraska fan, so I'm sure she's going to talk some Nebraska football and some Gator Bowl maybe. So the whole 10 yards, going to be back here in a second on 10 XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Eli Manning.
Hi, I'm Peter King.
This is Dan Reeves, and you are listening to 1010 XL.
1010 XL.
1010 XL.
92.5 FM. This is the whole 10 yards, brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
The whole 10 yards, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. And I really like this music. Rakeith is killing it.
Rakeith is going to DJ my next party.
DJ Rakeith.
Just own it on the ones and twos. I like that.
If you need a DJ, call Rakeith. We don't know his number, but call him anyway.
641-1010.
All right. So we're going to badger the SEC in a few minutes because everybody likes doing that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But for now. The infamous Kayla is on the whole 10 yards. Kayla, how are you?
What's up? I'm lovely. How are you?
We're doing good.
I don't understand why you called me infamous.
I mean, why not? Right?
I don't know. Isn't that a bad thing?
Infamous,
we could have called
good.
You the dastardly Kayla. That would be worse.
The dastardly?
That would have been awesome because that's a cool word.
Like twirly mustache and everything.
All right. What do you got for us? Anything
really
good?
Awkward.
I don't have anything smart to say like the other people.
Well, talk about Nebraska. I mean, they did just play here in Jacksonville, which we tried to recruit you to come down to the game and everything, and you were like, no.
I'm a poor post-college.
We're all poor. Clayton's here
in
poor.
The midst of college.
In the midst of college. I just graduated. I'm poor.
Matt is
but
rich.
You live there, so it's easier. <I'm rich. laughs>
Matt's a rich kid.
How did you feel about Nebraska's performance, though?
Had a heart attack at the end of that game.
Bo Pelini, what's going on with him? Is he safe?
Yeah. He was before.
For how long?
Because, I don't know. Like, it depends.
Kayla, you're killing me right now.
What about all those comments he made, though? Earlier this season, they caught him. They had audio recordings from, like, the 2011 bowl game, and afterwards him being like, I want to quit. I hate it.
It wasn't the bowl game. That recording thing was from after we beat Ohio State. It was, like, the biggest comeback in school history, and a bunch of people left after.
Oh.
A bunch of people left at halftime because we were losing by, like, 21 or something like that, and the, like, team was really upset that, like, so many people had left, and then they had that huge comeback and stuff, and so he was like, forget all y'all.
But you still want him back?
I do. I've never not liked Bo Pelini. I really like him. Like, he's a pretty good coach. Excuse me.
A pretty good coach.
I mean, comparatively to, like, what we've had, you know, like, we had Bill Callahan before that, and he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
He went from ruining my college team to ruining my NFL team, so I'm a little bit.
Yeah, because you're a Cowboys fan, too. I forgot about that.
Welp.
Struggle is real.
It's awful.
All right, so how does Nebraska do next year, Kayla?
Another Gator Bowl? I don't know, because hopefully not. I mean, we switched divisions.
Whoa, now.
Hey,
whoa.
This is my team.
Whoa.
City, what's wrong with you?
Nothing against the Gator Bowl, but Nebraska's been to three different bowl games in the last 6 years.
You're right.
Like, we need to branch out a little bit.
Maybe they go Daddy next year.
Pasadena, maybe?
Yeah, or Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, we might win that one.
BWW.
Unlike Michigan. But,
oh, wow.
Whoa.
There's a shot. Ooh.
Well, that's strike two.
Well done.
One more and you're gone.
But I don't know. I think that we'll do well in the new division, you know, like we play Michigan State at home or like in East Lansing.
That's right. We get new divisions. I'm excited.
but we Rutgers. Don't play Michigan. We don't play Ohio State. We do play Rutgers in Maryland, I think. Nope. And then we play Illinois, and we still don't play Indiana. But
oh, is that Legends of Leaders of the yesteryear anymore?
No, no, it's not Legends of Leaders anymore.
What is it? Is it now East and West?
It's we're going East and West.
Yes.
North to south of yesteryear.
I can actually determine who's in the East and who's in the West.
You
I had
think
no
that
idea
until you look at the map.
No,
I know they don't make any sense.
No, they don't.
Do we ever?
Oh, well.
I mean, there is a lot of schools all in the same area, you know, like Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, but they like didn't split it down the middle.
Well, I don't expect people in Big Ten country to know their geography too well anyway. So,
oh my God.
That was mean.
Wow. Come on
I have
now.
Nothing against
at Matt Ziegler.
That's a fair point.
Okay. I wasn't trying to be rude. Because Florida, we're not exactly the smartest state.
Here, so.
I'm not sure collectively which state's IQ is higher, Nebraska or Florida.
Well, Florida, we're the joke of the country, so that hurts. Overall,
that's are we? True.
Oh, we are the joke.
Oh, very much so.
Ask
you
Kayla.
Hear all the
yeah.
stories that come out of Florida. yeah. You don't hear any crazy like drunk man pulled over on a tractor in Nebraska, even though I'm sure it happens a lot.
No,
you
but
don't hear
it does
stories.
Happen.
But they don't get caught in Nebraska.
You don't get
here in Florida.
It's acceptable in Nebraska. You're rocking around in Florida. You drunk on a tractor in Florida. Why?
That's a good point. Well. Common.
All right, happening. Kayla. Who wins tomorrow? Last thing.
Hopefully Florida State. It hurts me a
she
lot.
Hopefully,
as an
hopefully why?
To root.
Why?
Because, well, I don't like the SEC. I'm really tired of everyone talking about them. And also,
that is a perfect segue.
Florida State's defense is better than Auburn's defense. And that's like,
and it's not
obviously
close.
With those two offenses, it's going to be who can score.
Who can stop.
Last. Who sort can, of.
Okay.
Kayla, I've never met you. I really like you.
I mean, I've never
you're
met
all
her.
Right
I've never
you.
Met her either.
Kayla, you're awesome.
Thank you.
That's the consensus, right? Except for Matt. Matt doesn't like her.
Whoa. Where is this coming from?
I don't like
from?
Matt either.
Oh. All right. We got a rivalry.
Okay.
Well, no, that's a
lie. You're all right if you have hate in your heart.
All right, Kayla. Thanks for calling, Kayla. We appreciate it all the way from Nebraska. Give everybody your Twitter handle real quick.
At Kayla on Corn.
Wow, that was really easy. Thanks,
at
appreciate
Kayla
it.
Corn.
All right, Kayla, it's great talking to you. Good call. That was fun.
I think Kayla likes me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, you think everybody likes you, but deep down,
Matt, sometimes it's better to go into the year with a rival.
Yeah, I think that everybody likes me, but deep down, I know everybody likes me.
Whoa, now.
There's no way. I mean, that was I should have made that joke about geography. Ah, oh, that was mean.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Oh, well.
It was funny.
All right. So here's the thing. We've got two bowl games left. SEC teams playing one of them, right? Auburn tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's so funny?
So it's Auburn, Ball State? Is that the bowl game?
No, it's Arkansas State and Ball State and Auburn, Florida State tomorrow. Can we mute Matt, Ricky? Can we do that?
No, Clayton's the one being crazy over
Anywho,
here.
Anywho, all right. So if I see one more thing that says the SEC is the most dominant conference and it's not even close, I'm going to blow a gasket. Because they're not as dominant as they used to
be. What if they just say the first part? They're the most dominant conference.
They're not even, you can't even use the word dominant anymore.
They're the best conference?
They're the best they're conference, the best yes.
Okay.
They're not dominant.
I see what you're
though.
Saying, the yeah. exaggeration.
The gap that Josh mentioned earlier is gone. It, maybe not gone. It is
it's closed.
Narrowed a it's lot. Closing. It's closed. Iowa played LSU really close. Wisconsin played South Carolina really close until late in the game. Nebraska beating Georgia, given the circumstances, okay, cool. Nebraska didn't have their starting quarterback either. People forget that.
Duke playing Texas A&M.
Duke playing Texas A&M really close, taking heroics from A&M's offense.
Oklahoma State, Missouri.
Oklahoma State beating...
Johnny Manziel, you mean?
Yeah, Oklahoma State and Missouri. And then Oklahoma, Alabama. The gap isn't there.
Georgia Tech, Ole Miss.
Georgia Tech, Ole Miss, which was another close game. You're not blowing teams out. Hell, you didn't blow teams out last year. South Carolina beat Michigan by one possession. The Nebraska-Georgia game last year was close. It's not 50-point wins like a dominant conference could be. Cool, they're 6-3. Awesome. Great. Fantastic. One of those bowl wins is over Rice.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And if you think I'm wrong, call me and yell at me because I'll just yell at you back because that's fun. But give me something, guys. Yes or no?
I... I what was his name, Justin?
Yeah.
That caller where you talked about the conferences. I just feel that, that's all Bob Stoops had said in his controversial comments that everyone was talking about leading up to this game against Alabama. All he had said was, you know, the conference's top powerhouse teams, yes, are equal, but from top to bottom, it's not, they're not as dominant as, you know, the exaggeration as the media proclaims it to be. And it's true. I mean, yeah, you can't put an Ole Miss, if you put Ole Miss against Ohio State rolls Ole Miss, you know, and you're not surprising anyone. But if Ole Miss beats Ohio State, then you have SEC people saying, told ya.
Right.
When even in their heart of hearts, they know they just got lucky. So I think it's just old fans that are still holding on to that.
Well, Wally and I talked about this. I think Josh might have been there, too, in production before the show. If the SEC wins a game against another conference, they're the best conference there is. It's not close. Go SEC. If they lose, there's an excuse.
Well, it's about the school then.
Right. Yeah, they didn't want to be there. Alabama's not really that great this year, even though they are.
The Alabama-Utah game, Alabama didn't really want to be
right
there. But Alabama-Oklahoma, oh, they wanted to be there.
Right.
They came to play.
You're telling me that if you win, you can claim the SEC, but if you lose, you don't? Mm-mm. Get out of here.
And with all this conference realignment, Oklahoma in 5 years could be an SEC team.
Right.
You know? So then what happened a few days ago in that bowl game? An SEC team beat another SEC team, essentially.
Right.
You know? Because Texas A&M in Missouri now, if you look at anything that Blaine Gabbert did, granted it was the Big 12, but at the same time, that was an SEC-caliber team.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
I have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
I have breaking news,
what?
Chief.
Oh, what yes.
Up? Oh.
If you,
okay, I was like, what?
1010XL News Bulletin.
I was the breaking news last week. Let's see if we can top this.
Well, UCLA quarterback Brett Hundley, viewed as a potential top 10 pick, plans to return to school for a senior season.
Ooh. My boy Brett, staying. That's what I like to hear.
Everybody's staying. Braxton Miller's staying, too.
Yeah.
Well Braxton Miller wasn't getting drafted. Yeah. That's why he's staying.
Welp.
Oh.
On that note, draft talk and national title predictions next on the whole 10 yards. Stinson XL, 92.5 FM.
The Frank Frangie Show with Rick Ballew.
Watch the Garth Brooks special from Friday night.
For Sundays. Somebody stop me. 1010XL. Woo! 92.5 FM. College football. The whole 10 yards. Brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville on 1010XL. 92.5 FM.
The whole 10 yards, Stinson XL, 92.5 FM. Clayton Tinkle, your host, back with Wally Olligan.
What up?
Matt Ziegler.
Hey.
Joshua Jackson.
What it is?
What's up?
Ain't that?
Nope.
Just joking.
Okay. Josh is standing by. Josh, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
All right. Fine.
Josh Baker.
There it is. Hey, listen, I know it's a football show, but we need to give some love to the Ospreys and get this community inside UNF Arena Thursday night. I'll take it off the air, but thanks for y'all supporting. We want to see you guys Thursday night.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. We've been hyping it up all day.
Yeah, at the start of the show, first thing I mentioned in my go-around introduction.
We can do it again. What's Thursday, Matt?
Thursday, the UNF men's basketball team faces off against Florida Gulf Coast.
This is the same Florida Gulf Coast that upset Georgetown, right?
Absolutely. Or okay. that the country titled
crazy over.
Dunk City.
Right.
If you will. The Ospreys are 3-0 in conference play, first in sole possession, not tied for first, sole right. possession of first place in the Atlantic Sun Conference. And Thursday night at 7 p.m., Joshua Jackson will be, you'll hear his voice
yes,
all throughout the arena.
Yes, you will.
Wally, you'll be there?
I will be there.
I'll be there.
And I'll be there as well. Yeah. And if you won't be able to be there, you can watch the game live online, streaming on asun.tv. Or you could follow us at asun.tv_UNF. And if we want to have that conversation all over again, we can.
Right, we might do it again.
Or you can listen to the game on the UNF Sports Network right here on 1010XL with Robert Harper.
Boom.
There you go. Boom. Got
or
him.
Just do How what the rest yeah, of us are going
to do. Or just come to the arena.
Or just come to the game because it's going to be an awesome
atmosphere. Is going to be pretty cool. I'm pretty excited.
And speaking of Rakeith, you can hear him at halftime with his reports during the halftime report. So, yeah, Rakeith's producing the game. So, hey, we're an all-encompassing game.
Right, right.
Exactly.
So no matter what, everyone's got something to do with the Ospreys on Thursday.
Exactly.
Jacksonville,
exactly.
You have stuff to do
and
Thursday.
You better be there.
You
better be there.
Absolutely.
Right. If you come and you're planning on coming, let me know, and I'll bring 10-yard shirts for you.
Oh, how
Find
about
me
that?
In the crowd, and I will give you $10. One person.
Wow.
That is a joke. That is a joke. That is a joke. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, I'll roll around with some 10-yard shirts if you find me at the game. If you find me at the game, I'll give you a shirt.
We'll have to talk to Josh, see if we can do that.
Yeah.
Said, "Where's Waldo? It's where's Wally? Trying to get my $10.
Well, I'm be hiding.
Where is he?
That's too much. Oh Lord! All right, so we've got a little bit of draft talk to get to,
because
why not? And a little bit of national championship to get into. What are we going to do first? National title priority.
We should do the national title game
and save draft talk for next week.
No, we should actually, but we should talk the national title game in the last segment, though. You know what I mean?
I like it. Sure.
Draft talk.
Draft talk.
So, how about this draft?
I'm going to the draft this year. I'm making that trip happen.
Are you?
Yeah. Dream scenario for Jacksonville is?
Let's be realistic. Realistic. All right. I was just telling you guys the scenario. Here's how I would, if this could happen, it would be beautiful. Atlanta trades up to number one with Houston, and Atlanta takes Clowney. Number two with the Rams, they pick Jake Matthews. And number three, your Jacksonville Jaguars 2014 starting quarterback is Teddy Bridgewater out of Louisville.
Why wouldn't the Texans take Clowney themselves, then have a line of Watt and Clowney?
Because I feel it's a pride thing. They don't want the number one pick, even though they were really bad.
Sure. They lost like 12 games in a row or some 14 games in a row. Yeah. Something crazy. But
we're not that bad.
We're not that bad. But number two, I just feel that they think that they're close. They're close. Like this 2-14 season they had was just an aberration.
Arian Foster was hurt
and all this stuff. So they would probably rather trade down and get some more picks so they can kind of add a couple more pieces to their roster. And legitimately try and make a run at the Super Bowl.
And you and I were talking last week after one of the UNF games. If you're Houston, do you completely give up on Matt Schaub? Because he's not a bad quarterback. He's just been a little.
He's just not the guy.
He's not the guy.
But you paid him a lot of money.
He's the guy. Sign him. Yeah, but he's also the guy that got you to the playoffs to begin with. Right. So I mean,
playoffs. But that Houston team also performed well with T.J. Yates at the helm in the playoffs as well.
You're right.
Yeah.
So you gotta think, is it Schaub or is it the players around Schaub that are making Schaub even look as good as he is?
Well, has Andre Johnson, who's getting older.
He did go to Virginia. What's ever came out of Virginia? Adrian?
Yeah.
Wow. Burn.
That's it.
I miss Adrian.
That's it.
But I don't.
EJ Manuel.
That's just my dream scenario. I don't know about you. What do you think?
Hey, Jeff Loggeman came from Virginia. He's all right.
Okay,
moving on.
I know. I'm with you. If the Texans if they trade down, if the Falcons trade up, I would love to have Teddy here. I was just thinking, do I want Teddy? Do I want Blake Bortles? Because you and I were talking earlier this week. I like his arm. Earlier in that game, he was so inconsistent with his accuracy. He's a big, strong quarterback. I don't know if I want another project quarterback.
We've seen that before.
Exactly. Give me somebody who can get here and that can actually make plays, get the ball to those receivers and do some things with it.
Talking about this the other day, it was with a friend of mine, and then I posted some stuff on Twitter as well. The more I watch Blake Bortles, I'm not in love with the guy, but I wouldn't mind him, if that makes sense.
I wouldn't mind him.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind him either.
If Teddy's gone and you take Bortles at three, I'm not upset.
I'm not mad.
Yeah. I'm really not. Because he has the tools and I think the work ethic coming from a UCF, having to prepare to be that good, that he can be good.
Okay.
So I'm not upset.
Another scenario. How about this? Jacksonville is still at three, but Bridgewater and Bortles – not Bridgewater, but Bridgewater and Clowney are gone. You have an opportunity to make a pick. You can pick whoever you want. Or someone from, like, let's say 18 or 19 offers you two first-rounders, two second-rounders, and, like,
trade
a fifth.
Down.
Do you take the trade down, or do you find somebody?
You trade down trade all down. Day.
Yeah, you got to take the trade down. With between Bortles and Bridgewater, I mean, I know you said Clowney before, but with Bortles and Bridgewater, if it comes down to them, you got to take Teddy. There can't be any thought about it, only because if you get Teddy, he comes in there and fails. You say, man, you know, we took the best guy. Exactly.
Right.
But if you take Bortles, what were we thinking? He had one season at UCF. Storm Johnson.
Right.
So good.
Because in that scenario, if you take Bortles and then Teddy falls a few spots and then he goes and he's a world beater.
It's like that type of morale stuff. it lingers and stays with a franchise up until Russell Wilson retires.
Brian Anger and Russell Wilson.
They will always be, exactly, they will always be connected.
He's not
so,
a punter, he's a weapon.
All right, okay, another scenario.
Give it to me.
Number three, do the Jaguars take Sammy Watkins?
No. No. God, no. That's too high.
Not that high.
I think if I'm stuck and I can't get out, I pull the trigger and I do it.
Because there are you're going to have your pick. And I was thinking about this a couple moments ago. You're going to have your pick of good receivers that can get here and help this team. You're also going to need to get another running back as well. There's going to be a slew of those.
Yeah, but you can get a bunch of running back late.
I can't justify it. And as great as Sammy Watkins is, I can't justify taking him at three.
That's a luxury pick.
Right.
If your team is, quote unquote, one player away, or you think you're one player away, you can do that.
Well, here's my justification.
Take Matthews, another lineman?
You can't go another. You can't go to
and just team
lineman,
him up
sorry.
With Jokel and they just...
Only reason I say Watkins is because you have to look at the whole Blackman situation. If Blackman does return, then, hey, you've got Blackman, Sammy, and Cecil Shorts. That sounds absolutely terrifying.
Be honest with you, if he does come out, I like Kelvin Benjamin more than I like Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, but
and he's
going to
be
think,
there in the second round.
So but I don't even think he. Yeah, but I was going to say Kelvin's not even a first round. I don't think he's got a first round.
Be there I think round. Josh's idea is that there's going to be other skill player athletes that'll be there that can contribute as well later, and you don't have to spend a third round pick. If Teddy and Clowney are gone, you can't trade down. You're looking at a Khalil Mack, something like that.
I agree.
You got to take one of those guys that are up there.
Well, I'm just saying, there's a couple different options you can go with. That's kind of where I'm going. Matt, you've been awfully silent over there.
Well, just with the draft, it's about value in the picks. You know, like we had spoken about in weeks prior. You know, if Johnny Manziel's available in the first round, not worth it. If Johnny Manziel's available in the third round, you know, you take a flyer on him at least. You try it out. And you don't really have any control because you don't know what the teams in front of you are going to pick. And especially in this draft, the Jaguars are in a position that's so dependent on what the Texans and what the Rams do. Because it's the Reds off the Redskins pick.
Right.
It's so dependent on what they do. Because if Clowney's available, done. Teddy's available, done. But then the nightmare scenario.
Right.
And if they're not able to trade down... It's just
like I feel you. I would still be comfortable taking like a Khalil Mack
or Anthony Barr.
I'm not a big Anthony Barr guy, but I mean, like, he.
You'd have to, or you could do like what the Ravens did that one draft and just not pick and just keep falling and just wait. Just
trading down.
The biggest thing that helps the Jaguars this year is being able to have that staff go to Mobile and coach the
Senior Bowl.
Yes. That is huge.
That's where you find the third and fourth round receivers that are going to help you.
And that running back,
and the
if
running
Mojo's
back,
not going
right.
to be there, that's going to help you. I'd be able to make some.
Because I just want a 6'2" to 6'4" receiver. We haven't had one in a long time, and I want one.
Well, what's
badly.
To stop? We didn't bring it up. The Jags from trading up, or if the Jags say, "Hey, listen, Rams, we really need one of these two guys. You know, we really need it."
Depends on who you trade.
You do have a lot of picks, but
you have a slew of them.
You have 10 picks.
And what happens
so valuable,
is.
Though.
I don't know.
For this
football
team,
those
picks
and
are
because
so
they're not
wrong.
Like they're not really late round picks, they're fourth and fifth round picks, they're still significant picks.
I'm just talking about options. There's just a lot of different things the Jaguars can do. You
okay,
know?
So let's say you offer to the Texans, let's say it's a first, your second, and one of your fifth round picks to move up. And
for first overall,
it.
And
for
they
first
take
overall,
it. I take Teddy.
Take it, and then you take Teddy.
They take Teddy. Franchise.
That deal I don't mind.
That's not bad.
I don't want it to be a Washington type deal, though.
No.
And I don't think you do that type of deal for Clowney. Mm-mm. I think you trade up in the draft.
If you trade up
to get,
number one overall,
you're doing it to get
be,
Bridgewater. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're worried that Houston's going to take
No, the Redskins trade is dumb. That's that's how you make another franchise
Stupid.
A dynasty. That's
Hashtag London.
London.
Oh, gosh. Any more draft takes, hot draft takes real quick?
What do you do with Aaron Murray and Zach Mettenberger?
Aaron Murray, take him.
Do you take him in a third or fourth round situation?
Yep.
Yeah, either one.
Yep.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind taking him at all.
All day.
I wouldn't mind taking him at all. Either him or Mettenberger. I mean, I wouldn't mind taking him.
Murray by a tad, but I like Zach a lot.
Right. I'll take Aaron because he's been a proven winner there
right.
in Georgia.
Right.
I think it'd be great. You know, he's kind of in a hometown, somewhat of a home area for Georgia. I think it puts butts in seats.
At least we have someone else on the show who likes Aaron Murray as much as I do.
I like Aaron Murray.
Why?
He's my Heisman pick.
Oh, that's
Why?
True. That's your fault.
Yeah. Well,
national title,
time out.
National title predictions next on the Whole 10 Yards, Stinson XL, 92.5 FM.
These days, everyone is looking for...
Gators, Seminoles, Canes, the whole 10 yards on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
The whole 10 yards, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Clayton Tinkle, Wally Olligan.
Arthur Lynch for Jacksonville.
Arthur, get out of here. Oh, Arthur Lynch. Okay, yeah. I thought you said Jordan Lynch. Like
no,
Northern,
God, no.
Northern Illinois guy.
Arthur Lynch, man. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
I like Arthur Lynch. Joshua Jackson. That'd forgot
be,
your name.
That'd be me. Hey, don't forget me. It's just wrong.
Unforgettable. Matt Ziegler.
So, Jordan Lynch, A.J. McCarron, who's worse?
Jordan Lynch?
For the NFL.
Give me Jordan Lynch.
Jordan Lynch,
he
even
can,
in
he
the
can,
NFL?
He can do more. Not necessarily as a quarterback.
He's not a big guy, though.
Are you kidding me?
I'll take Jordan Lynch over A.J.
Jordan
McCarron.
Lynch. All day.
Okay.
I want him on my roster.
BCS title game scenarios. Let's talk.
Oh, Lord. All right. So the big game is tomorrow. You guys pumped?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
30.
How pumped are you?
Switzerland.
It's the Swiss.
My team's not playing. I could really care less. I'm just looking forward
to
a good
Switzerland,
game.
So you're neutral.
Yeah, I'm neutral.
That's
Matt.
It's a good geography joke. Matt. See, I shouldn't have made that joke before. I have... Mounds of excitement. I just hope for a good game. It's either going to be close and exciting, or FSU is going to blow them out of the water.
I'm a Florida State fan, so that should tell you all you need to know about my excitement.
Like, hey, Josh, we're not going to talk to Josh this segment because he's bugged. No, I'm just kidding. No, this is. I'm actually more excited for this title game than I have been for a lot in the past, only because I think it's going to be really close.
I think it's going to be really close too,
and I hope it is. 8:30 tomorrow from Pasadena, the Rose Bowl, number one, number two. Does it get better than that? I mean, I think the BCS got it right this year.
Absolutely.
Florida State and Auburn are the two most deserving, at least. And Dave is going to postpone our predictions for a second. Dave, you're on the whole 10 yards.
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys?
Well, how,
good,
are, you?
How are you?
Good. I'm an Auburn fan, and, of course, looking forward to tomorrow night, and I don't think FSU fans quite understand what kind of this triple option offense.
It's not a triple option.
Well, it's a version of it.
It's a read option.
It's a read option.
Well, okay. There's three people that are capable of getting the ball to, in other words.
That's still only two options from the quarterback. Anywho, continue.
Anyway, my point is the way their ability to hide the football. There's times when you can't tell who has the ball. And the key to the game, if we get off on first downs, if we pick up 4 to 5 yards on first downs, we will run the ball. And if we run the ball 300 yards or more, it's going to be a long night for FSU. And FSU fans better hope that the linebackers are be able to fill those gaps, because if they do not...
I will say this. Auburn hasn't played a defense this fast or this talented all year. They're more talented and faster than Alabama is.
Well, I know their defensive backs are good. There's no question about that.
Not even their defensive backs. They're front seven.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to admit, I did not watch a lot of FSU games this year. I saw bits and pieces. But give Gus Malzahn a month to get that thing ready. And Ellis Johnson also get the defense ready. I really feel like Auburn's going to win the football game.
I think it's going to be close. And first down's the key. So.
Oh, first down's going to be key. Yeah. First down will be key. And don't think Nick Marshall can't – I mean, he can take off and burn you for 50 or 60 yards too. And don't think he's not afraid to throw that ball either.
We definitely don't think he is. Dave, we got a few more callers to get to, though. You have a prediction for tomorrow's score?
Yeah, I'll go 32-27. Okay. War Eagle.
All right. That's respectable. Good luck tomorrow.
War Eagle.
No.
Brandon is going to be our last caller on the whole 10 yards. Brandon, what you got?
How you guys doing, man? Y'all were just talking about how excited you was for the game, man. I'm totally excited, man. I can't wait for tomorrow, 8:30 prime time. I just can't wait. But I have to say, I have to disagree with you guys on the closeness of this game. And the reason I say this is because if Florida State can, for some reason, stop this rushing attack at all, and Auburn has to pass the ball, I think this game won't be close at all. I think it's going to be a total domination. If they force Auburn to throw this football, I just don't see the game being close, guys. And that's what I'm saying. My prediction for the game is 42-28, Noles,
all day.
All right, Brandon. Wow. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right. Real quick, we got 15 seconds each. Wally, go.
I'm going 28-24 Auburn.
31-17 Florida State.
I'm saying, oh, God. I'm saying 27-24 Auburn.
The key to this game, like Dave said, is first down. If Florida State can make Auburn be in third down and long or third down and longer than 4 or 5 to make them throw the ball, that's the key. That being said, I think Florida State can do that. Still think it's close because you can't stop that triple option.
Read option.
Read option. Every single play because it is tough to stop. Gonna say 34-23 Florida State.
If you force Nick Marshall to be a quarterback, I really think Florida State will win this game. I think they'll be able to win it in the second half. I think they win it 31-17.
Well, if Jameis Winston plays his game,
yeah, it's
over. There's no upset happening. If Jameis Winston plays the way that we're accustomed to, but we'll see what this new defense can show him.
The whole 10 yards finale next Sunday, 9:30 to 11, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
War Eagle. On Oles.
Now you can hear 1010XL in stereo at 92.5 FM. WJXL AM Jacksonville Beach. WJXL FM Jacksonville Beach.